Hi, everyone. This is Kel Weinhold from The Professor Is In, inviting you to come and join us over in our premium engagement. And that happens on the Himalaya app, where we have dynamic and ongoing conversations where there's additional information in the form of members-only podcasts, recordings of our webinars, recordings of our Facebook Lives from the past 4 years. Just a place for you to get a deeper and more personalized experience with the professors in. It also includes a social network where you can ask us questions or follow up on things that you heard on the podcast. So we invite you to come on over there. In recognition of the struggles of everyone for the pandemic, we have reduced the membership price right now from $7.99 to $4.99. So come on down. I wanted to let you know that this episode was recorded after the COVID-19 shutdown, but prior to the movement for Black Lives uprisings around the world. We will continue to produce podcasts as quickly as we can that are related to the current moment. In the meantime, we hope that you can find some valuable information here. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Karen Kelski of The Professor Is In. And as always, I am so happy to have you here with us today.
And this is Kel Weinhold. I am also from The Professor Is In. And I'm also happy that you're here today. And I want to give a shout out and a request at the same time. Shout out goes to those of you who have taken the time to write reviews, which we read to each other. That always sounds a little goofy, but it's true. They're so delightful to read, even the ones where you don't like us. And rate the podcast with that marvelous 5 stars. It's fantastic. And the more you do that, the more it pushes up us up in results, in particularly in Apple Podcasts. And that means more people get to see who and what we're about. So if you have the time, join those marvelous folks who are doing a written review or 5-star review. And of course, if you want to do another kind of star review, go ahead.
If you must. But I do encourage you to read the reviews because they're really fun and funny and heartwarming and thought-provoking. Because in a way, this podcast, if you have ever read my book, you know I hate the word unique, and I think it's terribly overused and usually kind of pointless in the way that it is commonly used. But I do have to say, I think this podcast is kind of unique out in the world of podcasts, and the kind of advice that we give to speaking directly to academics about the things that academics worry so much about, but rarely ever have a safe place to discuss openly. That's the thing. There are a number of podcasts that talk about academic topics, but we always try to get really into those places of where there is the places that are hidden in shame and embarrassment and, judgment. And we try to just bring those into the light so that we can talk about them so that you can move on in a healthy way. And so anyway, the reviews really actually reflect that. And they just delight us and they move us. They're moving. And so you might find them interesting and entertaining to read as well. Plus, I will say, and as you know, academics, we are writers. That's what we do. We write. We have many, many years of training in writing. And so when an academic writes a review, it's usually very, very well written. And that also makes them an absolute delight to read.
In fact, I'm going to read one right now by Bartleby the Scrivener, 1853. Titled How to Academia 101. If there ever were a syllabus on How to Academia 101, this podcast would be on it as required listening. The episode Why You Need a 5-Year Plan alone is revelatory. If you want to learn about how to protect your time from the admin abyss, identify how fear and shame operate in the academy, and get a better grip on the unspoken expectations of the PhD and tenure track system, give this a listen. And it goes on about our witty banter. But yeah, check it out. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, look those great SAT vocabulary words. Abyss. And what was the other one in the first sentence?
I don't know. I don't want to say them again because I just freak out about whether I'm pronouncing words correctly. Revelatory.
Revelatory.
Right. Oh. Right. The anyway, two trusted wise cracking advisors.
So I just want to say this, that we are grateful. We are honored that you come, that you listen, that you like us. You really like us, and that you then take the time to share and tell us what you find most useful. And we, like Kel said, we really do read those very carefully, take them to heart, and try to build any of our future episodes around what you have identified as what's most valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, being the good academics that we are, we parse them and think, okay, well, maybe we need to do more of this, or maybe people would like to hear this. I mean, we actually mine them pretty carefully as a way to think about what we do, as a way to improve this process for people. Because, you know, guess what? This is episode 24 of our podcast.
Oh my gosh, is it?
I know, but... I know that seems amazing to you. Mm-hmm. It seems amazing to me, but what that means is we've only had 24 attempts to do something that we don't, with the exception of the fact that we know how to talk. We, you know, this is a new and interesting way to go about it. So we're always looking for your feedback.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, use any of our other platforms to get in touch to make requests for topics for the podcast, which many of you do, and we appreciate it. And we have absolutely incorporated those to date. But you can message us on the premium platform, on the Himalaya app. You can DM us on Twitter or just tweet at us at Professor Is In. You can go onto the Facebook page and drop a line or DM me. I'm usually the one who's managing that. That's the Professor Is In on Facebook. And that's or go on the blog and leave us a comment.
Yeah, absolutely. So enough of that about that. We don't want to lose your attention because we're going on and on about things that are not the topic today, because the topic today is rather complicated, because we want to talk to you a little bit about how to plan for this next transition, how to plan for
summer under COVID.
Right. And in the move from maybe you've had some structure, maybe you've been taking classes or teaching classes or doing something, and it's the abyss is about to open in this wide open space of time, or in your imagination, a wide open space of time, because a lot of people say out loud all the time, I have the summer to write. Nobody has a summer to write. So if you're saying that right now, just disabuse yourself of that notion. There's always something that has to happen. So we want to talk a little bit about... sort of the self-care thinking that has to go into making that transition to planning, how your expectations need to be adjusted, and then it's really some just practical advice about how to plan. Right. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the, when you now think of moving towards summer, when you usually take your, do you take a month off in the summer? What is your brain doing as you're thinking about, okay, I have to switch exactly everything I'm doing right now as all the other stuff is winding down? What are you thinking about?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I have not thought about it yet. And the reason is the month I take off is July. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. And as you know, as my longtime partner, I have absolutely no ability to think more than about 10 minutes ahead. It's a core something of a characteristic of mine.
In the moment.
I am in the moment. It means I have issues, major issues dealing with my past and remembering my past. I have major issues in envisioning or even believing that a future exists, let alone planning for it.
Okay.
Let alone planning for it. So I am a person who lives in the moment. All that to say that, and I'm also reeling, and I'm just going to go on. I realize, okay, so this is a classic Karen digression, but I think that I, rightly or wrongly, I have confidence that what I say has value. I'm going to say that I'm still reeling from the transition,
right?
Because I had my college-age kids and my ex-husband in my house to get them off the streets during the pandemic and into a safe space. And the kids had to come home from college, and the ex-husband is housing insecure, so I had him come and have a place to stay. And now all three of them have left. So they have things to do, and they have departed to do them. And they're, you know, going to continue their social distancing, and they're still a very much, quarantining and stuff, but they're not in the house. And so I'm still, frankly, reeling from that.
Right.
That I'm in the house by myself. And honestly, what I have found, and I know this is probably not typical of a lot of our listeners, but what I feel like I'm experiencing is a kind of delayed emotional impact mm-hmm. of the pandemic, because I was pretty triggered and disassociated and on hypervigilant while they were home. And when they left, now there's a space to be able to kind of sink a little.
Oh, Karen, I think that you're it. I mean, I think that you've encapsulated it perfectly. Your thing that you were hypervigilant and focused on was, you know, adult kids and ex-husband in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like speaking directly to the experience of people who have been hyper-focused on getting their classes online, on their grading, on their, mm-hmm. like, on their keeping their, getting their family systems organized, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that we've had this period of hyper-focus and have even created systems that worked, just right. like you did. You had a system that worked
mm-hmm.
while pushing off all of the emotional stuff around it as much as you could to just mm-hmm. keep the train moving. Right.
And plus, I wanted to, as a parent, I was, you know, rightly or wrongly, and I'm honestly not at all sure that this is appropriate or ideal, but just trying to keep my hysteria away from the kids.
Right. So, I think that, you know, not subjecting other people to your, I mean, we're all trying to work on not visiting our shit up on other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I think that perfectly encapsulates what's going to happen for people in the next 3 weeks, or it's happening because this podcast will come out in 3 weeks. It's happening as you're wrapping up. So mm-hmm. there's a bunch of people whose semesters are ending right now at the end of May when we're recording this. I know other people who are on the term system are going to be ending in the middle of June. All of that stuff that's being demanded of you by your departments, that, you know, the just ridiculous things that I'm hearing from people that they're being asked to do.
Sure. You mean also including the planning for next fall?
Planning for next fall, but also, like, I had a person on one of my group sessions talking about how the administration had asked them all to do 30-second videos for each graduating senior in their department so they could feel like they had a personalized experience.
Mm.
And while that's sweet, the workload is stunning. Mm. So I think that there's going to be this, exactly what you're experiencing, which is this massive release mm-hmm. of some kind of vigilance mm-hmm. for a lot of people. Now, this is not, I know that for some of you, especially some of you who are ABD, the grind really isn't going to change. There, because maybe you're not teaching, maybe you're just out there working. So, and we're going to talk about that too. But I do want to, I think even those folks are dealing with the weird release of things opening up. Like, the transitions are hard. Let's just say that transitions for humans are hard.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like liminal states. Mm-hmm. We like security and safety. So you're going to, in some ways, it's all going to drop for a lot of people. And, you know, I know for you, that did not involve you saying, phew, I have time in my house. I'm now going to get to this.
Well, it did. It did.
You mean after lying on the couch for 3 days?
I don't know. I mean, as soon as they were gone, I was happy. I mean, on some levels, I mean, I felt immediately like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm sitting in my house and nobody's breathing anywhere. And I can't hear them because the house is spread out. But not like I could hear them, but I knew they were there. And anyway, it was a very complicated set of reactions, because I also noticed this massive uptick in irritability
right.
and a kind of a fury.
Right. Because like it's all rushing in.
Like I would just, you know, be sitting at my desk working and the pen would roll because the desk is like a sort of like a little temporary desk and it's not level. And the pen would roll down and fall on the floor. And I mean, I would just lose my shit.
Right.
Because that pen had dropped on the floor. Right. And it wasn't just once. It was over and over and over to the point where it actually penetrated my, you know, whatever, lack of self-awareness.
To go, well, to this say, seems odd.
I seem to be extremely irritable.
Right.
And then I really did tie it to the transition to the liminal state and to realize that I, and really notice I had not behaved in this way while the people were in my house. So because, and clearly I'd been holding it back. I'd been squelching it.
Right.
And now it was coming out.
Right. And I think that, I guess that the reason I brought this up and I wanted to talk about your experience of this, because I think so many of you out there are going to have some version of this experience. The shit you've been holding together to get your classes over the finish line, to get your grading done, the little spikes of irritation, the way that you've chosen to be kind and supportive to students when you really, all you wanted to do was scream into the void, when you stopped yourself from doing, you know, sending the email that says, what do you mean we're teaching in the fall? No, we're not. Quit lying. You're all lying. Stop lying. Mm-hmm. All of those things. There's going to be when we let down that vigilance, when we let down that stuff, a bunch of stuff's going to flatten us and swirl us around. So I guess the first part for me is, as a productivity coach, is to say, don't expect that you're just going to feel great that it's all over. That your only response is going to be, oh, thank God, class is over.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's going to be a response.
Well, also shout out, I mean, to the folks who have kids who normally their entire well-being, and I was one of these people, is hinges on camps,
right.
Summer camps for your kids.
Right.
So that you expect to have them home for a week or two, and then they start up a camp, and then you're like, okay, now I can manage my days again, and there are no camps or there are no
depending on where you live
camps that are outside of the house.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, shout out that's going to be a way that another element of a kind of just feeling out of control.
And I want to sort of go the opposite direction around summer planning is to the folks who have, in some ways, the teaching, the interaction, all that stuff, the people living alone for whom teaching, departmental meetings, all those things have been an anchor, have been a place where they at least had to show up.
Right.
So they had a path.
Right.
And even for the folks with kids, all of these things, whether we liked them or didn't like them, they were a reason that we had to show up. And they were a thing that kept us reminding that this is Wednesday, right? Oh, it's Monday at 8 a.m. because I have this instead of the vast open space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. So first, just don't expect it all to be like, yay, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Although if you can find within yourself a feeling of, yay, it's over, and I am just going to put up a hammock in my backyard and I am going to lie in it for a week, if that's available to you, do that.
Yeah.
And it isn't available to everyone because people live in apartment buildings in the city or, you know, many, many different contexts. But I know that my dance teacher, who finally reached the end of her rope, she's actually a psychologist and a therapist in her day job, finally, really, truly reached the end of her rope, said, I can't take it anymore, and planned an entire week off and then hung a hammock. And said, I'm basically, that's how I'm spending the week. But it was interesting because she said in the weekend leading into the week, she said, I did a bunch of house projects. Like I painted the entire front of the house because looking back, I realized I was not able to quite stop.
Right. Right.
And you can't just stop on a dime when you're a hyper-productive or hyper-vigilant person under a crisis. And of course, as a therapist, she has to keep it together for all of her her clients. So anyway, all that to say that that was another classic Karen digression that went in 15 directions at once. But let me come back to the original one. If you are in a position where you can hang a hammock and just lie in it and drink lemonade and read a novel, please try and do that.
Well, and I would actually say that everybody can track down their own version of a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to get fixated on the object instead of what the object means,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. so get in a hammock and, you know,
100,000 people,
I don't have a hammock. I live in a studio apartment in New York. There's a fucking hammock here. Okay, so try not to attach to the object. And instead, let's talk about the feeling that the object provides.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your swinging free, carefree, not going to worry about it thing? So
folding chair in Central Park.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to be in Central
Park. Well, I know where there's Central Park has a lot of associations right now, but.
And I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. I really hesitate to give people an object because they use it as a way to.
Our audience is rather literal.
Right. And they use it as an example of, I can't do that.
Mm, okay. That's true.
Okay. Too. Stop. Where's the feeling of freedom and relaxation for you? I don't, you know, that's what I'm talking about. How do we dig down to that? And I know from Unstuck that that's a hard ass thing to find for a lot of academics. They've lost touch with what is the thing that just feels like relief, or the, like when I used to lie on the grass as a kid and watch the clouds go by.
I've been post-academic for over a decade and I still can't really find it most of the time.
Right.
But I just want to say, I took a nap yesterday and it was spectacular.
Right.
And I felt like a completely different person after the nap than I did before the nap.
Right. So the first thing I would say in the land of planning for your summer is plan to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Plan. I read on Twitter months or weeks ago when this all started that this person had started to put in her calendar collapse mm-hmm. at 2:30 because every day at 2:30 after all her stuff, she would just collapse.
That's really good. That's good advice. So, I'm going to tell you something that here's another.
We are wandering.
I am a font of strange things, but I'm going to, again, trust that my contribution has value.
Of course it does.
I read one of my great loves, used to be, not so much now, but it was for many, many years, reading Victorian literature.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just take Jane Austen as an example. And what I'm often struck by when, you know, reading those, the plot and the characters are fascinating, but I, as an anthropologist and a person with an anthropologically oriented mind, I also read with great delight in what I'm learning of how people lived. What did their houses look like? And mm-hmm. what did they wear? Mm-hmm. And what did they travel in? And anyway, one of the things that's really fascinating when you read those is that when someone, for example, got sick, one time, I think one of her characters tromped across the whatever landscape to get to a neighbor's house. But the neighbor, of course, because this was, you know, Regency England, was, you know, 2 miles away, and she got all wet and she got a chill and she got a cold and she couldn't tromp back. And so she had to stay at the neighbor's house. Now, in our modern world in 2020, if you get a cold, do you take even one day off of work?
Mm.
No. Or you take one day off of work and you had better be back at work the next day. Well, this Jane Austen character with this cold recuperated at that neighbor's house for 4 weeks. And I bring this up because I am struck by the different way of we experience time and the fact that we, and myself, I include this, that we have an idea that's, let's say I did take that nap. I took a nap. Well, damn it, Karen, you took a nap. Well, you took a nap, for fuck's sake. You should be better. You should feel fine. You should now be really productive. And you don't need another nap for another 2 weeks because you had that one nap. I mean, that's the dialogue that's going on inside my head all the time.
Right.
And I know that that's the dialogue that's going in most of our dialogue that's going on in most of our listeners' minds. And the thing about it is, so your person saying collapse at 2:30 every single day. I love that.
Right.
And I want people to remember that just because you took one day off doesn't mean that that was your quota for the month. That you might need to take a half day off several times a week.
Right.
Or you might need to take an entire week off and then plan to have another entire week off.
Exactly.
Very, very soon afterwards. And I don't know. It's almost like trying to roll back. Again, it's the productivity imperative of neoliberalism that we're always railing against,
mm-hmm.
late capitalism and viewing us as worker bees who, you know, who are I don't know how they've managed to get into our brains, but they have the imperative to constantly produce. But we,
because your value is your work product.
Your value is your work product. How did they do that to us? How? It's amazing. And I remember when I was a kid that that wasn't the case. And I had to be trained in that.
Right, right. Because it used to be, I mean, there were at least shades of it where moments were just, you know, that relaxation, that reading, that playing, that all those things were okay.
Hours and hours lying on your bed, staring at the ceiling, listening to mournful music on your phonograph.
Now on your Victrola.
Yeah.
That we're going to go back with your 78. So
when the organ grinder came along.
When we sat with Ma and Pa in the living room and Pa played his violin and Ma danced while we sang his fiddle, right? Oh my God, we're in Little House on the Prairie. Okay. But I do think that there's a significant import and value in understanding that you have to shut down. That in this, and if this, I keep saying to everybody I'm working with, if we're not learning it now, it's a refusal to learn. To learn that there's a bunch we can't control, that we have to listen to our bodies, that we have to listen to our brains, not the screaming voices that say you're inadequate, but the actual voice in your head that says, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. I need a rest. That term took and I know you guys are out there teaching these courses and at least once a day saying, this is too much. Mm-hmm. This is too much. And it is. So what are you going to do? You're not going to jump into your first day after it all ends and say, well, I better get to work on that book. Plan the collapse. Write it in. Take at least a week off, if not 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. Take off time. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I want to give you all permission slips to do, if you'd like to write to me, I will send you. I actually have a permission slip that I send to my clients. Mm-hmm. I'll fill it out. You have permission to take 2 weeks off. Mm-hmm. So that's the start. Then what do you do after that, right? How do you get, if you are going to work this summer, and we're going to keep saying if, right? We're not going to go with the imperative that you're going to be able to work.
You know what else I see creeping into my thinking now, mm-hmm. my dysfunctional thinking patterns, is crisis fatigue.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this, and right. we've watched it evolve, and we are now in a whole new stage where things are quote unquote opening back up and mm-hmm. where we are under assault from at least, well, what seems to be half of our population and certainly from the president and all of his enablers to ignore everything we did.
Yep.
For all the things that worked, we're now supposed to throw away and not just throw away, but mock, actively mock and deny the efficacy of. And and so it becomes very difficult. And then there's also the natural fatigue of we've been doing this.
Right.
And so I think that in some ways there are two competing impulses. The one is, look, there's now this big shift. We're in a transitional period. The term has ended. Things have changed. And now we're looking ahead at a summer and it's okay to rest because of the crisis. But in the competing realm, we've been dealing with this fucking crisis for like 3 months already. And I'm tired of using the crisis as an excuse for being exhausted and for being less functional. And I should be over this by now. And furthermore, half the country is over this by now. So what the heck am I supposed to be doing? Why am I still giving myself these permissions? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think
that's where then the dysfunctional thinking creeps back in again.
Right. Because the what I love is that sentence. Tired of using this pandemic as an excuse. I mean, that sentence, if you just stood and looked in the mirror and said that to yourself several times, it'd be like, that might be a little bit of twisted thinking right there. I'm tired of using this pandemic as an excuse. But I think there's a little nugget in there is that we see these people out there running around, the people in the Ozarks at the swimming mm-hmm. pool over Memorial Day weekend, and we think, clearly, you're not being bothered by this. But I would argue that in fact they are, and they can't handle it, and they just want it to be normal again. So mm-hmm. It's actually the same response.
Yeah, I see that.
In very different mm-hmm. ways it's being acted out. But mm-hmm. it's that desperation of like, I'm tired of using it as an excuse, mm-hmm. i.e. I don't want this to be true.
So
I
magical,
want to move on.
Like children's magical thinking. Right. If I can't see it, it's not there.
And,
la, 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 right. la.
And one is that people running out to a swimming pool and 5,000 people all gathered around mm-hmm. with each other, breathing on each other, which just makes me want to hyperventilate. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us are like, I'm tired. You know, fine. There's a pandemic. You're right. But I still need to write a book. And I'm not thinking about that anymore.
So the same, they're two sides of the same coin. That's interesting. Yeah.
So there's a great article in the Atlantic right now mm-hmm. called So What Can We Do Now? Mm. And it's examining opening up and how and what is okay to do, mm-hmm. what's not okay to do, where's your risk factor, where are the risk factors? And every one of them has a risk, mm-hmm. but it's actually this intelligent discussion about, so if you do this, these are mitigating things, and this is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said, we all need to start having COVID consent conversations. Mm. We need to be having conversations with our intimate friends saying, what are you comfortable doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing out in the world so I understand what the impact on me is?
Right.
So it's like it's a consent conversation mm-hmm. about your risk to me
right.
and where, and I had another friend who said they planned a dinner party that was outside and they might have to move it inside because of the weather. And there was a big enough space to be 6 feet apart. And one of the people said, yeah, I'm not okay with inside, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to come.
Right.
But there was no judgment about that. There was just, I'm going to think this through.
Well, I had a conversation by Facebook just last night, with a thing that's happening tonight, where two of our members defended their dissertations successfully this week. And we're thrilled for them. And we have organized a parade in front of their house, which is delightful. And we're all going to present gifts and we're going to bring things to drink and we're going to toast them. Now, nowhere in the organizing was there a statement about masks or distancing. Mm-hmm. And I was really shocked when I noticed that, because if you don't make that clear, especially right now, you're leaving a lot. There's way too much scope for interpretation
right.
there.
Right.
And if you don't make it clear, then a bunch of people are going to have to say, I can't do it because I don't know what.
Or
I suppose you could make sure that you drive by with your windows up in your car, and that would be one way to participate no matter what.
Right.
But the larger point is, if you had a gift that you wanted to give them, but you weren't sure if people were social distancing, you would drive up and be like, oh, I can't participate after all, and have to drive away.
Right.
Anyway, so I spoke to the organizer and said, what's your expectation about masking? And she said, oh, I just think everyone will do what they're comfortable with. And I said, well, I would really appreciate it if you would just make that front and center.
Right.
Well, so
and
we all
let's
know.
Get back to the consent conversation,
yeah, so
right? It is just consent.
Like, it's a consent conversation.
If we're going to engage in this group interaction, mm-hmm. so where we have the risk of transmission, mm-hmm. let's talk about what everybody's limits are, mm-hmm. which we have way digressed from how to plan.
Have we, though?
Well, maybe not. Maybe we're...
Well, it's planning. No, it isn't our classic 5-year plan,
right.
summer 6-week plan, you know, plan to do this for X minutes a day, that for X minutes a day. But in a way, I wouldn't feel super comfortable necessarily doing a planning podcast episode like that right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is planning number one, which is deal with the emotional fallout.
Right.
And now
right.
maybe next week we can do planning number two, which right. is, okay, you've dealt with some of the emotional fallout. You've gotten honest about it. You've looked it in the face.
Right.
And now based on that foundation, let's talk about what might be doable.
So maybe this is the planning for what's going to happen when you no longer have the plan you had. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a little bit like the opening up. We all had a plan. It was all, everybody was doing it their way. People were staying in the house. Some people were staying in the house. We now find out, very mad, but they were staying in the house until they were released to go breathe on everybody. Now the plan changed and we've all had and I've talked to people all week, don't be surprised if you're less productive right now. Don't be surprised, because we're in another liminal state.
Yeah.
What's going to happen now that these are all open? So,
right?
Right? So then recognize that same thing's going to happen when your term ends, mm-hmm. and plan to collapse.
Plan to collapse.
Right.
So I suppose that's the point of our
this is the podcast. This is a new
plan to collapse.
Podcast title, The Plan to Collapse. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. Because I just, that's so important. And just to say again, I'm on that mission myself, and I haven't made peace with it yet.
No,
but it's rearing up and demanding mm-hmm. that I attend to it.
Right.
It being the need to collapse,
right.
the imperative to collapse,
right.
and all of this kind of repressed rage. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many emotions, but rage and fury and grief, such deep grief. And there was another one, but I just forgot what it was, which is what always happens to me when I try to identify emotions. I forget them.
And I just want to...
But anyway, they're there.
And I just want to add to that, because I
irritability right. is my cue.
Right.
That's what I wanted to say, is I've become much more aware that when I see irritability and that fury when a pen drops on the floor, that it's like, okay, Karen,
right.
your inner state is speaking to you. You need to listen.
And I want to, I just think that this idea of taking time off and taking time for ourselves, that I want you all to know that, it's a struggle we deal with all the time. And we deal with it in the relation to the professor is in, especially mm-hmm. right now. We feel such a tremendous responsibility responsibility.
It's true.
That people are struggling, and that we are a place where people come and say, I'm struggling. And we've there's such a tremendous responsibility to be here and talk to you and say, it's all going to be okay. And there's a whole lot of taking care and holding space.
That's your side. And my side, amongst other things, is the Facebook page.
Right.
I have made a mission site
right.
of sharing a clearinghouse of information.
So, and I was bringing that up to say, I'm taking next week off.
Mm.
And it has been a tremendous amount of work to say to all of the people who come to my weekly sessions, right? So there's 3 sessions a day.
Oh my.
There's 10 people per session. So every day I'm modeling for you taking time off. I'm watching the little bit of panic in their eyes, like, and they talk about, I don't know, this is the reason I'm being productive. And the whole week, this coaching has been about, what are your skills and how can you use them? Because it's not me, you're doing it. But we know how hard it is to step away and say, I'm not going to handle this for you right now. Mm-hmm. I'll be back. But I mean, I need to take care of me. So we know, with your kids, with your job, with your community service, with your parents, we know how hard it is to say, I'm not going to be there for you. I need to do this for me. So really, I'm going to encourage you, wherever your transition moment is for going into the summer, plan to collapse, plan time off, take time off.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next week with maybe a little bit more concrete planning, like how to set up your writing schedule or something really tedious like that. Bye.
Bye.